It's a great privilege to be here to speak for a few moments about the 10 benefits of being in the Legion, what I call the 10 blessings of legionary membership. So I'd like to tell you what these 10 blessings are. The first of all is, first one is found in Matthew chapter 25, and it's called the final judgment. And our Lord talks about what it will be like when we have to stand before Him. Jesus says, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, He will sit upon His glorious throne, and all the nations will be assembled before Him. And He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, 'Come, you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. A stranger, and you welcomed me. Naked, and you clothed me. Ill, and you cared for me. In prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer Him and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and visit you?' And the King will say to them in reply, 'Amen, I say to you, whatever you did for one of these least brothers of mine, you did for me.' And then these will go off into everlasting life with Almighty God." So that's the first reason, the first blessing, the first benefit is of our Legion membership, is that whatever we do for another person, Jesus takes it as being done to Himself. Now, Mother Teresa says that not only are people hungry for bread, but people are hungry for the Word of God. People are hungry for the Eucharist. Not only are people thirsty for something to drink, but they're thirsty for love. And so whatever we do to another person, Jesus says we do to Christ Himself. And we can make a good case, I believe, that the spiritual works of mercy, like bringing people back to the sacraments, back to the Eucharist, getting their children baptized, their marriages validated, will be even more important than the corporal works of mercy, taking care of the body, because the soul is eternal and will last forever in heaven or hell. And so Mother Teresa says, whatever we do to another person, we do to Christ Himself. And our Lord Himself says this in Scripture. That's the first benefit, the first blessing of being in the Legion, is that when we come before God, He will say, "When I was sick in that nursing home, you visited me. When I was in that prison, you came to see me. When I was hungry for the Eucharist, you brought me back to the sacraments. When I was thirsty for love, you came and comforted me." And so Jesus will then say to us in reply, "Come, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." That's in Matthew chapter 25. I encourage you to read it and study it. There's a true story about Henry Ford when he went back to Ireland. His parents had been from Ireland, from Cork. Henry Ford went back and he was in a bar one night in one of those Irish pubs, and these men descended upon him and said, "You know, Mr. Ford, we're going to build a brand new hospital, and we'd like you to give us a donation." So he said, "Sure, I'll give you a donation." He wrote out a check for $5,000 and gave it to the men. The next day in the newspaper, it said, "American industrialist Henry Ford donates $50,000 to the building of the new hospital." Well, when Mr. Ford read that in the paper, he was shocked, and he figured what these rascals were up to. So the next night in the pub, they came and said, "Oh, Mr. Ford, we're so sorry. We're so sorry about the typographical error. Well, tomorrow we'll print in the newspaper that it was only $5,000 that you gave." So he knew what they were up to, and he said, "Well, just how much will this hospital cost?" They said, $50,000. So he wrote out a brand new check for $50,000 and said, "I will give this to you on one condition." And they said, "Anything you want, we'll do." He said, "Allow me to write a scripture quote above the main entrance of the door." And they said, "Oh, by all means, that would be great." And so today, if you go to Cork, you'll see above the door of the hospital, "When I came among you as a stranger, you took me in." That's a true story. You can go there and see that. The second blessing, the second benefit of being in the Legion is from the letter of James, just a few verses from James. James chapter 5, verse 19. Brothers, if anyone among you should stray from the truth and someone bring him back, he should know that whoever brings back a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. The second best reason to be in the Legion, that if you help to bring back a sinner, let's say a fallen away Catholic, or bring a convert into the Catholic faith, if you are God's instrument to do that, what does the Bible say? The inspired word of God, the inerrant scripture says that you will save your own soul from death and you will cover a multitude of sins. Isn't that fantastic? That not only will you have your multitude of sins covered up, but Jesus says he'll give you enough grace to save your soul. That's the second reason. The third reason, the third blessing of being in the Legion is from Deuteronomy. And it's called the principle of tithing. I'm sure many of you tithe, which means that you give 10% to God. That you, whatever God gives you, all the blessings and benefits, you give 10% back to God. Now, in Scripture, it refers to this as, for example, like finances or the fruit of your harvest, you know, giving something back to God. But also should include our time, that out of the 168 hours in the week, we should give God something back, 10%. And we do this through Mass, through daily prayer, through Sunday and perhaps daily Mass, through the Rosary. But it should also be in our active life of being apostolic. That we should tithe our time. It's one thing putting a check in the basket on Sunday, that's not much of a sacrifice. But it is to give up maybe 2% or 3% of our time during the week. And to be in the Legion requires about 3 hours, 3.5 hours a week, which is not even 10% of our time during the week. But this principle of tithing is something that is in Scripture, in Deuteronomy, and God says he will bless you even more. And that's true. If you give any time to God, any time to the Blessed Mother, she will bless your life and your time, and you will even have more time and more blessings in your life. So I encourage you to tithe not only your finances and give 10% to God, but or to the poor, but to tithe your time and spend some time serving God through the act of apostolate. There's a man named Brian Tracy who's an international speaker on time management. In one of his seminars, he said that if you live to be 60 years old, you will spend 20 years of your life sleeping, you will spend 7 years of your life in the bathroom, you will spend 6 years of your life eating, you'll spend 5 years waiting in line or sitting in traffic, you'll spend 4 years cleaning your house. You think that's true? 4 years, for some of you, it might not be true. You'll spend 3 years at meetings, and you'll spend 1 year looking for lost objects. Now, of course, I figured out how to save a whole year of your life. Just pray to St. Anthony, and you'll find what you need right away, and you can save a whole year of your life. And you'll spend 8 months reading through junk mail. Okay? God can save you 8 months of your life. Just throw it right in the circular file as soon as it comes in the mail. Now, out of those 60 years, how much can we spend in tithing of that time to God? You know, because we have time for whatever we want to have time for, we make time for. See, if a person wants to play bridge every week, they'll play bridge every week. If they want to play bunco every week, they'll play bunco every week. If they want to play golf or they want to watch their favorite TV show every single, you know, once a week, they will do that. Because we do whatever we want to make time for. So it's not that we don't have time, it's just that the apostolate is not a priority in our life. And so perhaps we should consider giving that tithing time to God and serving him in this way. The fourth blessing, the fourth benefit of legionary membership is to fulfill what canon law and Vatican II say to each one of us. canon law and Vatican II say very clearly that the lay apostolate is not optional, that we have the obligation to spread our faith. This is what Vatican II said. The Christian vocation is, of its very nature, a vocation to the apostolate. A member that does not work at the growth of building up the body of Christ to the extent of his possibilities must be considered useless both to the church and to himself. This is from the Decree on the Laity. From the fact of their union with Christ, the head, flows the layman's right and duty to be apostles. So it's not optional. If you say, well, you know, it's not really for me to spread my faith, to teach CCD or to work in spreading the faith, well, that won't be able to cut it for Catholic membership. If you're a Catholic, you are bound by the very nature of your Catholicism to be apostolic. If you're a Christian, part and parcel of Christianity is evangelization, is to spread your faith. Inserted as they are in the mystical body of Christ by baptism and strengthened by confirmation, it is the Lord himself who calls you and assigns you to the apostolate. On all Christians, accordingly, rests the noble obligation of working to bring all men throughout the world to hear and accept the divine message of salvation. So Vatican II is very clear that every Catholic is bound by their baptism and by their confirmation to be apostolic and to spread the faith. And did you know that in canon law, we are obliged to be apostolic according to canon law? This is canon 225. Since all lay people are assigned to the apostolate by baptism and confirmation, they are bound by the general obligation, and they have the right, whether as individuals or organizations or in associations, to strive so that the divine message of salvation may be known and accepted by all people throughout the world. So this is something that is in canon law, canon 225, that we have the obligation to spread our faith and to be apostolic. So by being in the Legion, we are fulfilling Vatican II, the call that every person is to be apostolic, and the obligation to spread our faith according to the code of canon law. The fifth blessing, the fifth reason to be in the Legion, is that the Legion is a proven school for saints. And Frank Duff once said that the Legion makes saints and makes them by the bushel, a beautiful expression. When we consider how many people already are up for beatification in the Legion, it's amazing that a young organization, only 75 years old, already has Frank Duff, its founder, up for beatification, Edel Quinn, the missionary to Africa, Alfie Lam, the missionary in South America, and Michael E. King, a legionary from Africa. All four of them are up for beatification, and God willing, maybe during our lifetime, they'll be canonized. But the Legion gives us a lay vocation. I'd encourage you to see the Legion not just as an organization, but as a way of life, as a vocation of the lay apostolate, and as a school for sanctity. You know, if you want to get good at something, you have to practice it every week. Like, you play the piano, I'm sure these fellows that did such a good job playing the instruments, they had to practice that every week. Now, if we want to get good at holiness or at sanctity, we have to practice it every week. And the Legion gives us that opportunity. It's a school for saints, a school for holiness. And it gives a person a lay vocation, whether they be single, separated, married, or even a priest or a nun can have the Legion as a special kind of vocation. And for you as laity, the Legion can be your vocation. For example, Frank Duff never married. He devoted his whole life to serving God. And in fact, he had about four or five women that would have loved to have married him, it said. And somebody once asked him, Mr. Duff, why don't you get married to one of these secretaries of yours that would really love to marry you? He said, why should I make one woman miserable when I can keep at least a half a dozen waiting in hopeful expectation? It's a great line from Frank Duff. The Legion has also had as many as 4,000 martyrs. Did you know that in China? The estimate is that at least 4,000 legionaries were martyred for their Catholic faith and for their Legion membership in communist China between 1949 and 1953, around that time period. And I've heard statistics that as many as 40,000 legionaries suffered during that time under communist persecution of the church. So the Legion is a proven school for saints. So if we are part of the Legion, this sanctity will be helped to be formed within our lives. The sixth blessing, the sixth reason for Legion membership is that it will teach you your Catholic faith and give you weekly spiritual formation. Every time you come to a meeting, you're receiving education in the faith. See, the Legion is adult education in the faith. And one of the biggest problems in our country, in the United States today, is that most Catholics just don't know their Catholic faith. The Legion answers that problem by giving you weekly spiritual formation as well as weekly education in your Catholic faith. The Legion Handbook contains 173 quotations from sacred scripture. It contains dozens of passages from, it mentions 62 saints. It mentions about over 40 church documents and over 40 quotations from the popes over the years. So the Legion also teaches us weekly apologetics. It teaches us the central dogmas and teachings of Christianity, namely the teaching of the mystical body of Christ and Mary's motherhood of souls. The Legion teaches us the Montfort's true devotion, helping us to live that true devotion, which has made saints out of John Paul II, Mother Teresa, Maximilian Kolbe, Matt Talbot, and many others that practice the Montfort's true devotion. And at the weekly meeting, we have spiritual formation, that we kneel together and we pray to the Holy Spirit, and we pray the rosary, and we have spiritual reading and discussion and an allocutio and other prayers, and we learn from the reports. And every time we come together to Legion meeting, it's as if we're gathered at a cenacle with Our Lady, because we're her apostles, not the 12, 2,000 years ago, but we are her present-day apostles, and every Legion meeting is the upper room when we gather together in a cenacle of prayer, asking the Holy Spirit to come upon us so we can go out and convert the world for Christ. The seventh blessing of being in the Legion, you might think this is a little bit strange, but it will help your hair to grow back if you've lost your hair. This is a true story. Canon Francis Ripley from Liverpool, England, was working with some soldiers after World War II, and one German soldier had been in an explosion in a tank, and he'd lost all his hair, and for years it had never been able to grow back. And Father Ripley said to this man, you know, I'd like you to join the Legion of Mary. And this fellow said, well, I think I will, but do you think the Blessed Mother would help my hair to grow back if I joined the Legion? And Father Ripley said, you know, I would not be surprised. And Father Ripley told me that 3 months after this bald man joined the Legion, he had the most beautiful, gorgeous head of hair. Okay? Isn't that amazing? Now I told my dad that story. He says it's never worked for him. He's been in the Legion for 40 years, and he still has not helped his hair to grow back. But the principle in this number 7 is that you can never outdo our Lord or the Blessed Mother in generosity. Namely, if you give them something, if you sacrifice some time and some effort and some energy in giving anything to God or to the Blessed Mother, they will give you something in return. Maybe your child will come back to the sacrament. Maybe your grandchild will come back to the faith. Maybe your spouse will convert to the faith. Maybe your great-grandmother in some other country will receive a special blessing or special grace because of your Legion membership. So don't underestimate the power of the Blessed Mother, the power of God, the power of our Lord. If you do something for them, they will do something, I believe, back for you. One of my good friends at college, I asked him to join the Legion, and he had a very difficult time with one of the classes called the History of Philosophy. Very difficult class. It was two semesters. He says, well, I can't join this semester because I have this History of Philosophy course, and I just have to take this. And so he decided not to be in the Legion during that semester. And he failed the course. He failed the History of Philosophy. So then after the next semester started in January, I said, you know, why don't you join the Legion this semester? I said, you can't do any worse. I mean, you failed the course. You might as well, if you're going to fail again, you might as well join the Legion. See, that was his excuse. I had to study for this class. The next semester, he passed the second semester with like a C, which was pretty good in that particular course. And he was in the Legion during that semester. By giving some time to the Blessed Mother, she will bless you in many, many ways. And that man today is a Catholic priest in the Diocese of Peoria, Illinois. He went on to the seminary, and he's been ordained 6 years now. The eighth blessing of legionary membership is the friendships that you'll form in the Legion, is the Legion marriages that come out of the Legion membership. For example, one Presidium in Cork had 5 marriages from that one Presidium. It was the most popular Presidium in all of Ireland for all the young adults to join. See, the Legion is a family. That's why we call each other brother and sister, is that we are a family. And the Legion can give you many special friends and many wonderful lifetime and lifelong friendships. And during the course of the year, we get together and celebrate our friendship through the December reunion, at the Aces, at our outdoor function, at our September function. So the Legion can give us not only the vertical relationship of bringing us closer to God and the Blessed Mother, but the horizontal relationship of friends in this world. So remember, the cross has 2 bars. The vertical is our relationship with God, which the Legion helps us to get closer to God, but also the cross has the vertical bar. Namely, it helps us to develop friendships with one another, close, wonderful friendships. The ninth blessing of Legion membership is that you will look 10 years younger by being in the Legion. Did you know that? This is in canon law, or at least I read it somewhere. I forget where it was, but somebody, I think it was Father McGrath. Look at Father McGrath. You know, Father McGrath is like maybe 90 years of age, and he looks 10 years younger than he looks like 20 years younger. But I'm not stretching the point. I'm just saying you'll look 10 years younger by being in the Legion. I mean, I myself will still get carded if I go to a restaurant and if I order, you know, a glass of wine with a spaghetti dinner, they will say, can I see your ID? Now, I'm not saying I look that young, but I look younger than 34. My own mom and dad look 10 years younger than they are. I'm not going to tell you how old they are, but they look 10 years younger, and the Legion does that. It takes 10 years off your life. Frank Duff was riding his bicycle to the age of 91. Did you know that? In fact, Frank Duff never drove a car except for one occasion. Do you know that story? So when Frank Duff was a young man, he borrowed his brother's car, and as he was driving it for the very first time, the engine exploded. And so he never drove again in his whole life. But you'd always see him all over Ireland on his bicycle. And so Frank Duff, and you know, same thing with Edel Quinn, Alfie Lamb, the Legion keeps you young in spirit and also physically. I know some little old ladies in Philadelphia that are in their 90s, and they're knocking on doors, going door to door. And the Legion keeps them young in their mind, in their heart, in their soul, but even in what they look like. So if you want to look 10 years younger, then I encourage you to be a faithful legionary. You know, I love the story of some junior legionaries that were at the cathedral in Ireland, and they were doing a recruiting drive after Mass. They had like a special Mass, and so the juniors stood outside after Mass and asked people about joining the Legion. And this one little fella, who's about 10 years old, came up to an old man and said, I'd like to invite you to become an auxiliary member of the Legion of Mary. And the old man said, why can't I become an active member? And the kid says, because you're too old. And the man said, well, my name is Mr. Frank Duff. So So here he was, the founder of the Legion, was not even allowed to become an active member by this little junior. But I guarantee you, the Legion will make you look 10 years younger. So another great blessing, a great reason to join or to keep belonging. Lastly, number 10, the last blessing of Legion membership, is that after your death, you will have over 200,000 masses set for you every November. Did you know that? The Legion has at least, we don't know how many active members there are. There's at least 2 million, and some say as many as 10 million. But even if we said there's only 2 million, average of maybe 10 members per presidium, that's 200,000 presidia throughout the world. Every November, every single one of those presidia has to have a mass said for all the deceased members of the Legion, both active and auxiliary. So imagine that. Let's say you're sitting up in purgatory, and here comes November 1st. 200,000, if you're not out of there soon, then you can't blame us, okay? 200,000 masses being set for you, so that's why it's so important to live and die as a legionary. Make it your commitment never to leave the Legion, to die as a legionary. To live and die as a legionary, you'll get a special crown of glory in heaven for serving Our Lady. The other blessing, of course, is when you wear the brown scapular, you receive the Sabbatine privilege, which means that on the first Saturday after your death, the Blessed Mother will descend to purgatory and take all those souls to heaven on the first Saturday after your death. So besides being in the Legion, I always tell people, try to die on a Friday night a little bit before midnight. Try to die around Friday night, around 11:45, okay? So at the most, you'll have 15 minutes of purgatory. And so if you're not out by the first Saturday, certainly by 200,000 masses, you'll be very well taken care of. So these are the 10 blessings and the 10 benefits of Legion membership. Matthew chapter 25, we will be judged on how we took care of our neighbor. Remember, the soul is so important, it's eternal, even more important than the body, taking care of the corporal needs. James says, if you help save another soul, your soul will be saved. We should tithe and give 10% of our time and money to God. We should follow Vatican II and the Code of Canon Law by being apostolic. The Legion is a maker of saints. It teaches us our faith. It gives us weekly spiritual formation, helps our hair to grow back, if that's one of our dilemmas. And in other words, Our Lady will do something for us if we do something for her. We will be blessed with many, many friendships and wonderful relationships. We'll look 10 years younger, and after death have hardly any time at all in purgatory. So as we approach the year 2000, I encourage you to participate in the new evangelization. This is what the Holy Father wants. And we're doing that as our Legion membership. Jesus said, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Pray that the harvest master will send more laborers into the vineyard. So I guarantee it, there's a lot of people out there that are falling away. And the harvest is great, but we need more laborers for the vineyard. God bless you. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Spirit, amen. Lord. Okay, let's say a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, thank you very much. It's a privilege to be here today and to speak to you on a very special topic, and that topic is the Legion of Mary Handbook, which is truly one of the greatest spiritual masterpieces ever written. This past summer, a priest friend of mine named Father O'Doherty was down from New York, and he's the spiritual director for the Legion in his diocese of Ogdensburg, New York. He came to one of my presidium meetings, and at that meeting, he said something that really struck me. He said, next to the Bible and the Catechism of the Catholic Church, the very best book you could read for your spiritual life is the Legion Handbook. And he bases this on his 50 years of being in the Legion. He joined when he was 10 years of age in Ireland, then he came to America as a missionary priest. and he's been working with the Legion ever since. When I was in the seminary, there was a young student named Father Pollard. He wasn't a father back then, but Father Pollard was in the room right next to mine on the fourth floor of Mount St. Mary's Seminary. And we would have what we would call the carrot cake conferences. See, this is when my parents would send me down the Oregon Farms carrot cake, and they'd put it in the mail, UPS, I'd get it the next day. And that night, I would knock on the wall, and Father Marcus knew that it was time for a carrot cake conference. So he would come over and we would talk about different things, and one of the first times I met him, I gave him a copy of the Legion Handbook, and I said, you might want to read through this and take a look at this book. He had never read it before. He had not heard of the Legion, maybe only in passing reference. So he read the book, and he gave it back to me the next week and said, I read the whole thing in 1 week, he said, it's the best book on the Blessed Mother I've ever read. And he, as you know, has read dozens and hundreds of books. He's one of the most educated seminarians in our whole seminary at the time. So he said that this book was one of the best book he'd ever read on the Blessed Mother. Father McGrath, all of us know Father McGrath, he's, I think, 90 years old right now. He said that if all the books on the Catholic faith were burned, you know, during a persecution, and only one book remained, the Legion Handbook, you could rebuild the whole theology of the Catholic Church based on that book because of what it contains, the doctrines and the theology it contains. So truly, the Legion Handbook, in my opinion, is a spiritual classic, right up there with the Imitation of Christ and the Introduction to Devout Life. It really is a modern-day introduction to devout life to let Catholics, to let the laity know how to live their faith here as we approach the year 2000. Now, the Legion Handbook was written by Frank Duff, who, as we know, is up for beatification. So the handbook was written by a future saint. Now, some of you might remember the story that after Frank Duff died, my dad went over to Ireland and attended the funeral of Frank Duff. And while he was there, he asked some of his friends, could they get him a relic of Frank Duff? You know, could they get him, like, one of Frank Duff's scapulars, or maybe one of Frank Duff's rosaries, or his copy of the True Devotion with little notes in the margin? Well, they didn't bring him back any of those things. They brought him back Frank Duff's stapler. Imagine that, having the stapler of a future saint. But my dad loved it. He said, this is so good, it's a second-class relic, and every time I use it, it's going to punch out third-class relics. So we have this great treasure of Frank Duff Stapler at my home in Norristown, Pennsylvania. So the Legion Handbook was written by a future saint. And the Legion Handbook was also used by the fathers of Vatican II to write the decree on the laity. My mom and dad were in Ireland in the early 1960s, right when Vatican II started. And the council fathers were working on the different decrees. And my dad was sitting at breakfast, my mom was sitting at breakfast with Frank Duff, and he got a telegram. Somebody came and said, Brother Duff, you have a telegram from Rome. It was from the congregation in charge of writing the Vatican document. They wanted two copies of the Legion Handbook in every language because they were going to use it as one of its sources for Vatican II, for the decree on the laity. And you'll find, if you read the Decree on the Laity, there's almost some word-for-word paraphrases directly from the Legion Handbook. So it truly is an outstanding book to be held in such high regard by the Council Fathers and used in the Vatican II documents itself. The Legion Handbook really is perhaps one of the most studied books in the world today. What other book is read each and every week by millions of people on a weekly basis? When you consider how many active members we have, we don't know exactly, but the lowest estimate would be at least 2 million, and some say as many as 10 million active members throughout the world. And what do they study every single week at their presidium meeting? They study the Legion Handbook. I've been reading the handbook now for 25 years. Next year I'll be in the Legion for 25 years. I joined August 11, 1973. And every single time I open up the Legion Handbook, and read a paragraph or a page, I learn something new. There's fresh insight. But I truly believe there's a special grace that is in the Legion Handbook. How many times can somebody read some of these passages? I've read maybe 10, 20 times. For example, the section on the true devotion, or on the Eucharist, or on the mystery of suffering. And there's always fresh insights in these particular passages. And I'm sure that's been the same for you. So this handbook is one of the most studied books throughout the world. There might be at least 200,000 to 500,000 Presidia. And every single week, the members read this and study it and discuss it, and allocutios are given on it. Name me another book that is studied on a weekly basis like the Legion Handbook. The Legion Handbook is really a synthesis of Catholic doctrine, Catholic theology, spirituality, sacred scripture, the teachings and lives of the saints, and the devotional life of the Church. First of all, take a look at sacred scripture. In the Legion Handbook, there are 173 quotations from sacred scripture. The handbook's only 368 pages. That means like on every other page, there's a quotation from sacred scripture. Who says the Catholics don't know their Bible? Who says the legionaries don't know their Bible? And these are some of the most important scripture passages, like Genesis 3:15 and John chapter 2, the wedding feast of Cana, and Luke chapter 1, verse 46, the Annunciation, and John chapter 6 on the Eucharist. Some of the most important scripture passages that we need to know as Catholics are right here in the Legion Handbook. Second, what about Catholic doctrine? In the Legion Handbook, there are 62 quotations from church documents. There are 47 quotations from papal encyclicals and papal documents in the handbook. And it is truly amazing the amount of wisdom and knowledge and time and effort that went into making this handbook. There are sections in the handbook about the Blessed Trinity, an in-depth treatment on the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's ecclesiology, which is the teachings of what the Church believes about itself as the Church, as the mystical body of Christ. As St. Thomas Aquinas says, the doctrine of the mystical body is the central dogma of Christianity. The Legion Handbook explains all about angels. It explains saints. It explains the role of Mary as mother of God, as spouse of the Holy Spirit, and as daughter of God the Father. It explains the Immaculate Conception, Mary's as the mediatrix of all graces, her relationship with the Holy Spirit, her motherhood of the Church. It tells about Mary as the new Eve and as the mother of souls. Third, the Legion Handbook is an encyclopedia of the spiritual life. Think of the wisdom of the saints that's contained in the handbook. Not only those beautiful passages about all the patron saints, but 62 saints are mentioned and quoted and talked about in the Legion Handbook. This is an encyclopedia of the spiritual life. It contains treatises on prayer, mortification, the importance of spiritual reading, the importance of retreats, how to develop the virtues of faith, hope, charity, courage, humility, obedience. One of the most outstanding chapters in this handbook is about the meaning of suffering and how to offer up suffering. One of the best chapters on the Eucharist as an instrument of conversion, an in-depth treatment of John chapter 6, a beautiful passage about the importance of regular confession. Perhaps one of the best chapters in this handbook is on de Montfort's True Devotion. Perhaps the very best summary ever done on de Montfort's True Devotion is contained in this book. It's an encyclopedia of the spiritual life because it contains the theology of the lay Christian vocation. As I said, a modern-day introduction to devout life, which was written to give spiritual formation and spiritual direction to the laity. And this gives spiritual direction and spiritual formation to between 2 and 10 million Catholics on a weekly basis. This is an encyclopedia on the spiritual life because what it contains about the devotional life of the Church, the theology of the Sacred Heart, the miraculous medal, the brown scapular, the enthronement ceremony, and the sacramentals of the Church. Fourth, this is an apostolic training manual, that it contains wisdom on the lay apostolate, on how to evangelize, how to go door to door, how to bring back fallen away Catholics. This is the handbook on the lay apostolate. This implements Vatican II more than any other book in the Catholic Church today. This is Vatican II in practice. This is what the Council was calling for. The Council called the laity a sleeping giant. Once it wakes up, it could convert the world. This handbook teaches us the master and apprentice system. It teaches us how to break down a difficult task into 39 easy steps. It talks about the importance of going in pairs on our apostolic work. It talks about how to visit nursing homes and hospitals and prisons. It's also a book on apologetics. The section on the book barrow is one of the best sections on apologetics you'll find, on how to explain to somebody that the Catholic Church is the one true Church. And the section on the Eucharist, as an instrument of conversion, is one of the best apologetic chapters I've ever read as well. And lastly, the Legion Handbook is the manual on how to run a good organization, how to run a good system. It has good psychology on how to run a meeting, namely punctuality and order and the Legion system and how to train officers and how to get people to discuss their faith. Read the section on the patricians and you'll find a valuable lesson on how to do adult education. For example, the lecture system, people only remember like 20% of a lecture. But if you get them discussing something and then maybe acting upon that, they'll remember 50, 60, 70, 80, 90%. Now, Father McGrath said that when the communists got a copy of this Legion Handbook in communist China, they said, this is a great organization. That, they said, it's just like communism, but only, of course, working for good instead of for evil. Because what they saw when they read the handbook was an incredible system to organize people, to motivate people, to get them to go out and influence people in a very powerful way. It included the ideas of meeting in small groups and having a definite assignment and then reporting back at the following week. So Father McGrath was very proud that the communists saw this book as something that would really be a powerful thing, and that's why they called the Legion of Mary public enemy number one. It wasn't the Catholic Church that they were afraid of, because they had Catholics for years. But it was the active Catholics that they were so terrified of. And that's why as many as 4,000 active members of the Legion were put to death in communist China during that period. Not because they were Catholics, but because they were members of the Legion, that powerful force that had such a good organization, such a good system. So I encourage you to read and study this handbook, not just at the weekly meeting, but on your own. When you make your holy hour before the Blessed Sacrament, take the handbook and just open up the section on the Eucharist or on prayer or on the spiritual life or on one of the saints or on the Blessed Mother. You can use this as your spiritual reading. It truly is a spiritual classic. Once some legionaries up in Philadelphia were visiting a pastor and they tried to get him to start the Legion. He did not know much about the Legion at all. And so they said, why don't you take a look at this and we'll come back next week and we can talk about it. So a week later they came back and the priest said, boy, if you followed this book, you would be a saint. Isn't that true? And that was his impression of this book, that if you followed it, you would become a saint. You know, Frank Duff will one day, God willing, be canonized. And I believe he could easily be declared a doctor of the Church. For example, they just made St. Therese the Little Flower a doctor of the Church. How many volumes did she write? I mean, how many books did St. Therese write? Certainly not as many as St. Augustine or Thomas Aquinas or St. Jerome, But because her book, her autobiography, influenced so many millions of people with good Catholic spirituality, she was declared a doctor of the Church. And I've heard many theologians say, some in Ireland and some here in America, that they believe because of this handbook, Frank Duff could possibly be decided upon as a doctor of the Church. His book, Woman of Genesis, and his other books, Victory Through Mary, but especially for this book, The Legion Handbook. And I'd just like to end with one little anecdote, a true story that happened to one of my college friends named John. After he left Christendom, he went off to Michigan. And all he had was with him, he had his Legion Handbook under one arm and his Franklin Planner under the other. He really knows his time management as well as his spirituality. So he had his Franklin Planner and he had his Legion Handbook. So he goes into a Legion meeting in Michigan, and gathered around this Legion altar were five little old ladies, all above age 70 or 80 years of age. And they had not had a guest at their meeting in 7 years. So in comes their knight in shining armor, okay, with his Legion Handbook, and that was the key. They saw that, they looked through his handbook, they underlined it and studied it so well. By the time he left that meeting, they had elected him the president of that presidium because of his knowledge of the Legion that he learned through reading the Legion Handbook and his work at Christendom College and in the Legion there. And so he then, of course, later on became a curia officer, and then he became a priest, and he's a priest now in the Diocese of Peoria, Illinois. But he really attributes his vocation to the Legion, and a great deal of his spirituality is based upon the Legion Handbook. So it truly is a spiritual classic, and we as legionaries should love it very dearly. And I'll end with a few sentences from Canon Ripley, and he sort of sums up everything I've been saying. He says, "We must love the handbook for these reasons. First, it is our rule. Second, it is a fine manual for spiritual direction. Third, it is a splendid guide to the technique and method of apostolic work. Four, it is a book of prayer and meditation. Five, it is already sanctified by its association with the Legion all over the world. Six, it is a fountain of sound Catholic doctrine. And seven, it is a manual of devotion to Our Lady." God bless you.